Good evening, one and all. Yes, here we go. Halfway through March already, well, third of the way, sort of thing. And this is me here, Barry, with another book and a chat. When you get together with another author and you're writing a book about hotels and terrorism and things like that, somebody who, had been a captain in the US Army, and not only that, awarded the Bronze Star and Army Commendation Medal, and then had a lot to do with things like hotels and chairman of this, that, and the other, might be somebody handy to have along as part of the writing duo. Well, my guest today, he is just that. And on the fourth, I think he's just telling me he's just finished their fourth book in this series, and this is Gary Grossman is the person, one of the writers, but the person I have on the show today is the one and only Ed Fuller. Hi Ed, how you doing?
Great, and it's a pleasure to be here with you.
It's a pleasure to be chatting to you because we've tried a couple of times and one of us was ill and the other one was ill and we finally got here, Ed, which is the important thing, and it's
But
well
we're
worth waiting
feeling
for.
both great.
Right, yeah, this is the thing. Strike while the iron's hot or while we're both feeling good. I said about you wrote this book with with Gary. Where who came up with the idea? How did you actually get in contact when you first started this series?
Back in 2012, when I retired from Marriott, I had written a business book called You Can't Lead With Your Feet on the Desk. And a friend of mine who was also on the Boston University trustees, a fellow named Bruce Fernstein, a good friend, said, "Let me read your book." And he read it and he says, "You need to do one or two real thrillers to be able to get this in the movies." So he's introduced me to Gary. And because, as I explained, I could write the business book because I was taking from my own notes. But when it came to gluing together romance and all that other stuff, I struggled because I went from one incident that was real, but I had to connect it and have it flow. So I met Gary, and Gary would take our actual challenges and we would strategize the story, and then Gary would stir the bouillabaisse, and I would throw in a few more firecrackers.
It's obviously worked out very well, and I must add that your original non-fiction book is was a bestseller. So it's not like you just wrote any old book. It that that about going forward with your feet on the desk sort of thing. That was in the top 20 bestsellers, wasn't it, or something like that?
Yeah, absolutely. But a very dull business book that people read because they were in school or interested in management and leadership.
Right, because you were, was it chairman of the Marriott Group and all sorts of. I was reading through the sort of things you've been on committee this and the head of this and chairman of this, and I don't know how you had time to do anything else to do that. You seem to be on
Well,
all sorts of panels and universities and that.
Number one, my last name is not Marriott, so I was never chairman of Marriott.
All
But
right.
I did chair several and still am chairman of one other nonprofit company. And I've been involved in a lot of things. But one thing that I believe in, and you and I have talked before, when you retire, you don't want to retire. You
No.
want to keep busy. And these books are just one aspect of that.
That's right. I mean, I like I think we said before, I do more now than I ever did when I was working. And I was working 24, yeah, I was working on an on-call at nights and all sorts. I just don't stop these days.
Yeah.
I want to go back to work to get a break. Sort of thing. It's, but that's how it should be. I think you should keep, you need to keep yourself busy. Otherwise you end up vegetating, I'm sure.
Well, Bill Marriott's wife used to say, you know, I married Bill for love, but not for lunch.
Very true. Very true indeed. When you started off writing together, the two of you, as you said, you know, you had the vegetables and he sort of made the meal from them almost. How did that first book go? I mean, did you sort of get into a routine? Did you sort of write a bit and then send it to him, and then he sort of, you know, filled in the gaps on that sort of thing? What was the style you did writing together?
Well, number one, we started, and Gary had written about five books previously and was a producer. And right. So we started with an outline. Now, I can assure you that we never ended the book the way we started it. So what we had was we put in several incidents, and I'll speak about the Red Hotel in particular.
Yeah.
The first bombing was in Tokyo. It was described in great detail and introduced some of our characters. In reality, that hotel was bombed, but it was in Indonesia, and I had to deal with that in my capacity with Marriott.
Do you know
because
what?
I was president of International.
I had the company, I was working for Unilever at the time, I think, when that hotel, that bomb went off over in the UK. And we had four or five managers staying in that hotel when the bomb went off. So I do actually, you know, I do remember that very well, because everybody was running around trying to find out how our managers were and everything. So indeed, Indonesia, yes.
And so that added the real component. And so you read all four of these books and you'll find actual stories that happened to me, with me, during my time, because I was very lucky. I was president of the international division of Marriott for 22 years. So I flew a lot, 14 million miles.
Oh, my goodness.
And I had the opportunity to visit over 150 countries. We operated in 73. So I needed to, if you read my business book, I believe in leading from the front. Mm-hmm. And so I would always go to where the crisis was so right. I could support my people and indicate to them that they were important to us.
Which is what it should be. I totally agree with that fact. The Red Hotel, big success. I was just looking on Amazon. I think there's like 234 reviews or something like that, mainly four and three quarters, five, you know. Terrific, terrific ratings, all sorts of stuff. It obviously, you know, got people interested. You know, as soon as one of these page turners, which I'm a big believer in, like the old Saturday morning cinema, you know, you leave the person tied to the railway track waiting to see what happens next week. And that, what I think, what makes people do the page turning as well. But you must have been very pleased with the success, but were you surprised at all with it?
No, the surprises were that when we worked together, there where we disagreed on a strategy, we eventually agreed with no problem. So every direction in the books were really something that we changed. We made different approaches. We really tried to take, and you can see it when you read three or four of the books, which are also available on audio. Mm-hmm. We really tried to make it action, action, action. The first book, we introduced some of the characters and spent time on that, but we realized that by implementing and creating action within a very strong storyline and having great characters that we could carry through, it made the difference. And so that was a change we made along that line. And we both agreed and obviously pushed each other to make sure that the action kept everybody on the edge of their seat.
Right, and it's there's a big battle of wits as well, I think. You know, the whole business, it's not just, you know, shoot 'em up and everything else like that. There's some intellectual stuff going on within it as well, which, you know, makes people think and it draws people into it, I'm sure.
It is. And if you have the chance, your listeners have the chance to read it. We have soft covers as well as hard covers on Amazon. You will find that you are experiencing things today that we were anticipating previously. Because our bad guy is Mr. Putin, with another name.
Right.
And so his strategies, we've been very close on. I've had several people, especially in the third book, Red Chaos, say, how did you guys anticipate this was happening? And so we spend a lot of time reading not only history, but spend a lot of time watching what's happening around us and trying to understand where we think it's going to go.
Right. Because obviously, after the success of Red Hotel, you had Red Deception. And then the last book to come out was Red Chaos. Though we'll get to the new one you've just been finishing. But so Red Chaos was the second book, the third book. And did you find you were picking more people up and they were going back and reading the other one? Or did you have people demanding when the fourth was coming out, or, you know, that couldn't wait for the next one to come out?
We actually did 6 printings on Red Chaos.
Wow.
And we found that people then ran back and started with Red Hotel and Red Deception. You don't have to read them in that sequence. However, it's a more easily understood series if you did start with Red Hotel. And we had some amazing purchases when we put out the book on soft side, but I am astounded with the number of people that have bought ebooks and are reading in that fashion, and
right.
The number of people doing audios as they're driving home or going to work.
Yeah. I mean, I must admit, these days if I can't sleep at night, I stick an audio book on, you know, download an audio book and stick that on and lay there at night listening to the book. You know, it's even books that I've read before, I sort of listen to the audio and that of it. Red Chaos, it's Arctic ice melting, isn't it? And oil and stuff like that. Is that where I am?
Right. It really picks up with the climate changes in the North Seas, and the realization that we have one icebreaker, the Russians have 12. And realizing Russia is able, with this water warming in the North, to be able to bring tankers and commerce through another source, which they totally control when you're going by the country's own home territory.
Right.
And the advantage that gives them and some of the devious steps they have and they can play using some of the countries that have been identified in the news to help them, like Iran, North Korea. And it surprised us how closely we came to that. Now, we're writing this for fun, but we're having fun because Vladimir Putin continually is playing a game that is serious, challenging, and his counterpart in our book is doing the same thing.
And yeah, it's so, you just read on, you know, the introduction of the book, and it's, as you said, it's realism. I mean, the expansion's plans past Ukraine and Latvia, shut down the Suez Canal. I mean, this is what we're seeing, you know, in the news all the time.
You're right. And we're in the Red Sea trying to defend against Iran's best friends, the Hutus.
Yep.
And, you know, it's real.
Yeah. I mean, I was talking to a gentleman last week about science fiction. He's a science fiction writer. And I was saying, you know, well, you just think when, say, Star Trek first came out, and there was these communicators and captain's logs and sliding doors and that. It's reality these days. Communicators, your mobile phone. Captain's logs, your tablet. Sliding doors is everywhere. Yeah, I mean, what was the future has come to pass in many, many good and bad things.
You know, you hit it on the head. And frankly, with AI coming and all the questions that are around that, it still comes down to people and the people that are going to lead us. I'm not doing a political statement here. Not the people that are going to lead us, lead other countries. Wouldn't it be great if we just got together and cooperated and did not have all these thrillers?
Yeah,
because frankly, I would be just as pleased to write a romantic novel now.
Right. Yeah, because you don't want to be proved right. Yeah, I can understand that. Yeah, let's have more flowers and roses, you know, than threatened of world destruction. You know, it's,
right. There's so much challenge out there today, and so. We had planned to do, we finished, as you mentioned, the fourth book, and we have just finished it, so we're still polishing it before we send it to the publisher. But we plan to do at least a fifth and a sixth.
Oh, okay.
So we're not stopping. We've got storylines already set up that admit from the fourth book into the fifth book, but we haven't started working on that yet. Right. And you've got to believe that Gary and I are just having fun.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand that, but like you said, perhaps at the back of your mind, when you're going through it, you suddenly realize what a bad state and getting worse this world is in right now.
So true. So true.
Go ahead. Sorry.
I was about to say, we as individuals should be able to influence change, but in my time, the ability to change attitudes and the like were hard to come by. I did 100 trips to China over my career, and I will tell you, I learned a lot.
Right.
I also respect their ability to challenge us and take advantage of us. And the culture is the most critical thing to understand about the people we work with or people that we defend ourselves against.
Right. Yes, I can understand that. Yes. When we started talking, and you were saying about, when you first got together and how you got together, and that, one of the things that you mentioned, and I know Gary has done some sort of film stuff, was the possibility of, that you could sort of change your stories into a film. Has anything come from that?
I can only say that I can't comment at this point.
Okay, fair enough. I'm not going to push you, but that sounds good to me.
If elected, I will run.
That's fair enough. That's fair enough. You can't say more than that, can you? You reckon you could get 6 books out of this? You sort of coming across things you think, well, crikey, I missed that bit out. Perhaps I should go back and perhaps do a prequel even, where this all started from. Is that on your agenda?
We have not had that discussion. And we will now that you brought it up.
It's just I've come across things where people, have got a series of 6-7 books and then they do a prequel. And I said to them, well, why did you suddenly do a prequel? And said, well, people wanted to know about what happened before this and where did this person come from and stuff like that, until you got a whole other book about this, if you like, the lead up to it, rather than just the sort of intro part of a book.
Well, in the thriller category, people want to be entertained. Mm-hmm. And so my thought is that this, while every one of the examples that were real, you can ask a question about, and I'll tell you what really happened, like I did the Tokyo, Indonesia incident. But at the same time, I'm not trying to beat our chest for what we went against, but over the full time, those 22 years, I was lucky to have that job for that length of time. And we had to deal with bombings, we had to deal with kidnappings, we had to deal with in Thailand, we had an overrun by the different factions in the country, and we had 3 of our hotels isolated. And I also spent 10 days in Egypt during Mubarak's overthrow.
Oh, right.
And these stories are all blended into this, but I don't think I was that exciting, or my character was that exciting, before the book started.
Right. Time's starting to beat us. So what I'm going to do now, Ed, is actually hand the show over to you so that you can tell people where they can find out more about you and your books and everything else. So over to you.
Very kind. The 4 books, 3 are available. Amazon seems to be the most popular source of the books, although they are available in private bookstores and through Barnes & Noble and the normal sourcing. The prices have come down a little. It's a good time to get them. Really easy to wrap if you're giving gifts, because they're nice, size.
Exactly. So, yeah. No odd shapes. Right.
Right. So even the guys can wrap these gifts up and give them, whether it's birthday or Christmas.
Right.
The books are available through those sources. You will find that we have a website, and you might imagine it's called the Red Hotel series. And we have videos because we did trailers for each show, our story. And it also gives our backgrounds and individual experiences, as well as some descriptors of the book itself. So we have the website. We just finished a significant amount of social media to try to highlight Red Chaos when it came out. And we believe that there's going to be two more good stories, and we will have the fourth one published by the end of the year, hopefully for Christmas, so you can put it under the tree.
I do.
They are also bundled by our publisher and available as a bundle in Amazon.
Okay, I saw that. Yeah, a sort of bundle, the bundle of the three so far. Yeah, Red Hotel series. I saw that on Amazon. I thought that was a good idea, because you always sort of, when you read one, you get into it, and I've got to wait until I can get the next one. But if you get all three at one go, by the time you finish those three, you could, the fourth one could be out, and there you go. That's next Christmas sorted.
Yeah, and that bundle you can wrap up, or you can get it on any one of the other audio sources.
Right. Well, Ed, thanks so much for being a guest. I'm glad we finally got the chat, and it's been really great chatting to you. Perhaps when the next one comes out, come back and chat to us again about this fourth one.
It would be my pleasure.
Thank you.
I've certainly enjoyed our time together.
Indeed, so have I. Thank you very much. Well, there you go. My guest today, really interesting, great bloke, Ed Fuller, or Edwin Fuller, but he writes under Ed Fuller, who, along with Gary Grossman, written this Red Hotel series. And as we said, the third book just came out, which is called Red Chaos. And the fourth one is Ready to Be the Smoothing. Of course, the very first one is Red Hotel, Red Deception, and then Red Chaos. And then the fourth one will be coming out soon. I love it when you get stuff like that, and very, very interesting and very page-turning and exciting. There's actually a quote from our old friend Steve Berry on there, who thought it was terrific. And we know we have Steve nearly every year these days, comes and tells us about his latest books and stuff like that. So if anybody knows about stuff that's going to be really good to read and exciting, Steve Berry is your man, and he gives it good power. Anyway, that's it. I'll be back on Sunday between 5 and 6 p.m. with Those Are the Days, music from the 20th century. And our theme this week, all the music will be, well, it's the second week of Green. Yeah, so all the songs will be either with Green in the title or sung by somebody green or something along those lines. We had the first one last week, and we got enough for a second one this week. So I'm halfway through recording that. And that's followed, of course, by an hour of music from the 60s with the Swinging 60s. So that's it. And then next week, I'll be back with two further guests. But until then, as always, we have one thing left to say. Don't forget.